common farmhouses of the country. After leading his horse behind an angle of the wall, the traveler threw his valise over his arm and knocked loudly at the entrance of the building for admission. An aged black soon appeared, and without seeming to think it necessary to consult his superiors, acceded to the request for accommodations. The traveler was shown into an extremely neat parlor, where a fire had been lighted to cheer the dullness of an easterly storm and an October evening. After giving the valise into the keeping of his civil attendant, and politely repeating his request to the old gentleman, who arose to receive him, and paying his compliments to the three ladies who were seated at work with their needles, the stranger commenced laying aside some of the outer garments which he had worn on his ride. On taking an extra handkerchief from his neck, and removing a cloak of blue cloth, with a surtout of the same material, he exhibited to the scrutiny of the observant family party a tall and extremely graceful person of apparently 50 years of age. His countenance evinced a settled composure and dignity. His nose was straight and approaching to Grecian. His eye of a gray color was quiet, thoughtful, and rather melancholy, the mouth and lower part of his face being expressive of decision and much character. His dress, being suited to the road, was simple and plain. He wore his own hair, dressed in a manner that gave a military air to his appearance, and which was rather heightened by his erect and conspicuously graceful carriage. The ladies arose from their seats, and together with the master of the house, they received anew and returned the complimentary greetings which were again offered. The host was by several years the senior of the traveler, and by his manner, dress, and everything around him, showed he had seen much of life and the best society. The ladies were a maiden of 40 and 2 much younger, who did not seem, indeed, to have reached half those years. After handing a glass of excellent Madeira to his guest, Mr. Wharton, for so was the owner of this retired estate called, resumed his seat by the fire with another in his own hand. For a moment he paused, but at length inquired, "To whose health am I to have the honor of drinking?" The traveler had also seated himself, and turning his eyes slowly on his host, replied, while a faint tinge gathered on his features, "Mr. Harper." "Mr. Harper," resumed the other with the formal precision of that day, "I have the honor to drink your health, and to hope you will sustain no injury from the rain to which you have been exposed." Mr. Harper bowed in silence to the compliment. The young ladies had again taken their seats beside the workstand, while their aunt, Miss Jeanette Peyton, withdrew to superintend the preparations necessary to appease the hunger of their unexpected visitor. A short silence prevailed, during which Mr. Harper was apparently enjoying the change in his situation. "I find it very difficult," said Mr. Wharton, cautiously avoiding at first such subjects as he wished to introduce, "to procure that quality of tobacco for my evening's amusement to which I have been accustomed." "I should think the shops in New York might furnish the best in the country," calmly rejoined the other. "Why, yes," returned the host in rather a hesitating manner. "There must be plenty in town, but the war has made communications with the city, however innocent, too dangerous to be risked for so trifling an article as tobacco. I wish from the bottom of my heart that this unnatural struggle was over, that we might again meet our friends and relatives in peace and love." "It is much to be desired," said Harper. "I hear of no movement of consequence since the arrival of our new allies," said Mr. Wharton, shaking the ashes from his pipe and turning his back to the other, under the pretense of receiving a coal from his youngest daughter. "Is it intimated any are in agitation?" "Oh, nothing in particular, but it is natural to expect some new enterprise from so powerful a force as that under Rochambeau." Harper made no reply to this remark, while Mr. Wharton, after lighting his pipe, resumed the subject. "They appear more active in the south. Gates and Cornwallis seem willing to bring the war to an issue there." The elder sister ventured to say, in a tone which partook in no small measure of triumph, "General Gates has been less fortunate with the Earl than with General Burgoyne." "But General Gates is an Englishman, Sarah," cried the younger lady with quickness. The traveler had turned his face from one sister to the other, as they had spoken in succession, and inquired of the younger, "May I venture to ask what inferences you would draw?"